Now, what I'd like to do at this point is to present to you, since we have to approach theosophy only through our individual understandings of it, I'd like to give you a quiz. Now we have a test on the morning's material. Paper and pencils? We may not have a great many pencils. If you've got a writing instrument, please use it, all right? We're going to pass out some paper and pencils for you. You thought I was joking, didn't you, about a quiz? Never. This is the nice kind of quiz, I might add, in that there are no wrong answers to any of the questions, and it is possible that for some of the questions there are no right answers.
Is the reconvening of eight groups after working on the eight various questions for report back to the floor.
Hi, everybody. I'm April Dennis. I'm from LA Life. Hope you had a lot of fun. Number one. Number two, I hope you experienced what our group experienced and that it is possible for everybody to be heard and recognized and accepted, and for a group to work together with some kind of creative solution to an issue. That was pretty thrilling. I realize it's an ideal situation. We won't have to see each other tomorrow. I also realize it's not like the situations that you have to deal with every day with your own boards or your own groups, but at least it's an experience that says it's possible to consider this type of alternative in working together. So what we'd like to do in the closing minutes of this is to have the reporters from each group respond to how that group answered the particular issue that John asked of us. Okay? Yes. So what I'll do is read the question, and then we'll have each report from each group come up and respond to that one question. Every group was assigned only one issue, of course, because we never would have gotten through today. So let's see, who's reporter for group number one? Great, come on up. Good. Okay, these were fun. I like them. The question is, you've just moved into a new city where there is no branch of the theosophical organization to which you belong, but there is a branch of another theosophical organization. What do you do? Do you study by yourself? That's A. B, do you look meetings of another organization, whenever the subject interests you? C, you ask whether you can join the organization, or D, you do other.
I've reported for number one group, and first the facts. The facts are that there was nine of us that attended. Roger was our director, and then we went into a vote to see the recording of the number of votes. B selections were seven members, and on D there were two of us that had an alternative selection. And first of all, I'd like to say that the selection of being outside was great. I love the sunshine. That was neat. Well, we went through the idea of coming up with a consensus, and Roger gave us a rundown of how it took to come to a consensus of opinion and allow people with different ideas to express themselves. So the idea of a possibility of a dual membership, joining the club and maybe join another one or maintaining. But that wasn't carried through very far. However, some people did say that that's very possible and there's no problem. And then the idea of just joining immediately was members felt that that might not be too well because we weren't sure that this was going to be a group that was in harmony with what they're thinking. So we came up finally with a consensus, and our writer wrote down for us, go to the group meeting for a while and study it and meet people and later decide whether to join or not. And this allowed us the alternative to either drop out graciously without hurting anybody's feelings and either join a study group or make up a study group of our own. That's what we came up with was, in the final analysis, was D, an alternative of not joining, but to sort of attend the meetings and become familiar with the group, and if we felt harmonious, that we would join.
I think what I liked about that is that it was a process. It's not just yes or no, but an ongoing process, and interestingly enough, it incorporated everybody's viewpoint. It was great. Okay, number two, where's number two? Great. Don't be shy. Come on up. I'm going to read the question, and then you can give us your answer. Okay. So number two was, you are the leader of your theosophical, of a branch of your theosophical organization. A stranger has just moved to your city who is a member of another theosophical organization with no branch in that city. The stranger comes to a public meeting to introduce herself. What do you do? A, explain to the stranger why yours is really the best theosophical organization and invite her to it. B, you treat the stranger like any other member of the public who comes to one of the meetings. C, you invite the stranger to participate in all the activity of the group just as you would a member of your own organization. And D, other.
When we ran down the group one by one, we had a majority with C, allowing them to participate in all the study groups of the group. And then, of course, as the discussion went down, we qualified a little bit. And in the end, we didn't come to a real final consensus, but I think C was the majority opinion. We did point out the fact that they were not a member of the general public, so they've come to the group with knowledge of theosophy from another organization, and they shouldn't be treated just like a member of the public who has no background, but also that the group should be preserved, that particular lodge's feelings and goals should also be kept in mind. So I think that we came to the conclusion in C that they should be allowed to attend the study groups with the intention of deciding if they would like to become a member of that particular lodge.
Okay, for group number three, since we had 10 groups, we had a duplicate. Two groups worked on issue number three. So could we have the two people from each of those groups come up? That's great. I'll read it while you're walking up here. This one, number three, was you are on the board of directors of your branch of a theosophical organization and own your own building. In your city, there is also a branch of another theosophical organization that has no quarters of its own, but it's about to bring into town a distinguished speaker from that organization. This situation is brought to the attention of your board of directors.
From what I hear about the other group, I think we could read it together, but it might be difficult. Basically, we almost had consensus from the very beginning, pretty much with C, with some additions, and also with B included, and that is that we would give the opportunity and offer the facilities in general. The questions then arose that there would have to be some kind of criteria as to what kind of speakers would be allowed to remove it from the realm of personality decision, and that it would have to be someone, of course, as all theosophical groups are, the criteria would be in the realm of the three objects. We also agreed to that it would be an active policy, ideally to invite speakers from other theosophical societies. We also, there was some discussion that the practicality involved sometimes as, of course, this is an ideal answer, and that there can be difficulties in making those kinds of decisions.
Well, as Ken indicated, our group essentially came to the same conclusion. But we weren't quite so agreed to begin with. Most of the people favored C, but there was a group who went with D who felt that there did need to be some qualifications. I think what the group was, some of them were worried about things like problems of personalities or how much should be said so the public would be aware that this group's opinions might diverge a little bit. We had several eminent educators in our group. Diana, who was our facilitator, wanted me to mention the two most prominent were Anne Small and Felix Late. Read the statement that we finally agreed upon, and this was, I think we said it was an enthusiastic C, was what we called it. Our group would extend a cordial, open-hearted invitation to distinguished speaker. The chairman of our group, in his introductory remarks, would warmly welcome the speaker from our sister organization, and we would just leave it there.
Two groups with the same answer. It's pretty interesting. Okay, now this is number four. This is the one where you've been chosen as a librarian for your local group. Oops, sorry. Where's number four? Come on up. Four? Okay, I got your notes, Will. You've been chosen as a librarian for your local group, and your present library is small, but you have been given money to buy the books with. What kind of books will you buy? A, you buy multiple copies of The Secret Doctrine and other books by HPB since they are basic theosophy. B, you buy a wide selection of books by authors in the tradition of your organization. C, you buy representative theosophical books from all traditions of the theosophical movement. And D, other.
This proved to be really rather an interesting question, but really rather simple, on which there was almost universal agreement. There were one or two people who felt that the first thing to do would be to buy a wide selection of books by authors in the tradition of your organization. Because the feeling was, first, although you've been appointed librarian, you really don't know the literature terribly well. And so to play it safe, you get the books. And then, of course, you realize that this allotment of money was probably not an infinite allotment of money. When they were told to think that there were no limits, then, of course, this was an impossible thing to think about, so you just had to put that aside. But the almost universal agreement was in C, that you buy representative theosophical books from all traditions of the theosophical movement. And I want to emphasize the word theosophical movement. Not only of the various theosophical organizations, but of all movements, whether they books be published hundreds of years ago or today, that the exercise of censorship by any one individual was an intolerable situation.
Very interesting. Great. Now, number five. Good. Number five is you are in a position to influence the policy for publishing books in your organization. The question has arisen of possible collaboration between your organization and another theosophical group. What position do you take? A, you believe that the possible benefits of collaboration are not worth the problems that would arise, so you recommend against any collaborative efforts. B, you recommend co-publishing some books, provided your organization has editorial control over the books. C, you recommend the establishment of a joint independent publication board with authority to publish books of mutual interest, while each organization remains free to publish books of special interest. And D would be other.
We were in pretty much general consensus, but there were others who had some good points that I think I'll share with you. There were some who felt that they were concerned about what might be published, so they were interested in having some editorial control. And then as we discussed at the and discussed the other, the third point, the point C, they were won over. One other thing, if it's contested. Some heard C read in this manner as there being an established independent board, which would give you a whole different picture. The presumption would be then that both sides were so ill-tempered that they needed the third party to come in and keep peace. But so when we eliminated the term independent then, and it was read that you recommend the establishment of a joint publication board with authority to publish books of mutual interest while leaving the opening for each organization to be free to publish books according to their own interests. So we interpret it to be this. There might be books that both groups would agree would be valuable to be published and could agree upon that, that it would be a good thing to do it together. And the reasons we thought that they might arrive at that position was that it was a positive approach to doing it that way. And then it allowed for quality control with freedom to both sides. And then the third point, which when we got to that, we thought it might have been the first reason for doing it was economics, that in cooperating, it would be more economic and to do it together. Then we decided it would also provide a sense of unity, and also it enlarged the pool of the resources of the ideas. The more minds available, the more ideas and the more idea you are to come up with a better quality of ideas. So those were our points.
Okay, number six. Yeah. You've been invited to choose some articles for an issue of your organization's magazine. What kind of article do you look for? A, you look for articles by the early leaders of the Theosophical movement to reprint. B, you solicit articles from current members of your organization. And C, you look at magazines of other Theosophical organizations for articles that you might reprint. And D is other.
We started out on the obvious exercise of taking a vote. And A came in for a couple of votes, but the majority of the people at that point felt that D was a better option, and the particular option was all of the above. There was one party who felt that, no, just two of the above, A and C, I think. As we talked about it, we finally, I think, came to the point that what you need is a balanced editorial policy, that you should pick articles which span and include the various aspects of your readership, and that D, all of the above, was probably the best way to go. We did not really sit down and say, hey, this is our answer, so I'm kind of playing it by ear here, because I think that's what we came up with. A couple of ideas that did come out that perhaps should be mentioned, that you might handle disagreements through the letters to the editor. Here is a person that disagrees widely with what you say. Let that be a letter to the editor, and yet your policy as far as the article is concerned could still be more within the bounds of your consensus. The question of the head and the heart came up, and again I think the principle of balance would be applied to that. Also, the question of whether you choose by consensus or by perception of theosophy when you see it is again a matter of balance. So I guess that is what I took out of our group as the effort to reach a consensus, which was not formally achieved, but I think it actually came pretty close.
Number seven. Group seven? Great. Number seven is an inquirer who has been to both your organization and another organization in the theosophical movement. Oh, this is a good one. Asks you why, if both organizations teach brotherhood and theosophy, there are two organizations instead of one. What do you answer? A, you tell the inquirer that the other group unfortunately has deviated from the real truth, although probably they mean well. And B, you tell the inquirer that you know about the early history of the theosophical movement that led to its early separation and various theosophical organizations that arose from it. C, you tell the inquirer that it's a very complex matter, which you haven't had, don't have time to explain. That's very, I can appreciate that one. And D is the other.
Well, I will say briefly that most of us answered D.
Better than C.
And a couple of us with B. And B with reservations, that B was merely an introduction to something more, depending on the person we're speaking to, whether they're very interested or just shallowly interested. Anyway, it was generally agreed upon that the split, the various splits, were due to the diversity of thought, and that brotherhood is in question here. So this person has to answer for himself, using his own intuition and investigation, what is brotherhood? And we all agreed that brotherhood was simply having many brands of thought, but coexisting together happily. And so a person must examine the nature of the Theosophical Society itself and ask himself, what is brotherhood? And arrive to a logical conclusion.
That's a lot. Thank you. That's great. Okay, number eight. Almost done. Kirby. Number eight is, inquirer asks how he can know just what theosophy really is, when there seems to be such variety of ideas in theosophical books and on theosophical platforms. What do you answer? A, you say that to be theosophy, a teaching found in the writings of HPV. B, you say that to be theosophy, a teaching has to be given out by someone who is a pupil of the masters and who therefore has received theosophical teachings from a reliable source. C, you say that to be theosophy, a teaching only has to appear in a theosophical publication or stated on a theosophical platform, since whatever comes from a theosophical organization is by definition theosophy. And D is other.
Well, we all voted on D. We felt that primarily that whatever was said would have to be drawn forth by the person to whom we were talking. However, if we were going to say something, and what we did was we had a first statement, a note of general observations, and we made another round of it in which that was boiled down a little bit, and then the third time around. And actually, we didn't get a chance to complete everything. But it came down to the fact that if we were going to talk about it, we would have to bring out the fact that theosophy was the eternal wisdom and a matter of individual discovery. We would define the word theosophia, and we would put it in the work in historical context. And I think that was really as far as we could go in the time allotted to us. You can see that it would be almost an eternal thing that one could go over and over and refine and refine. But actually, it really comes down to the fact that what you say is what would be taken from you. by the person you're talking to. Thank you very much.
Last and certainly not least is the question. You decide that you want to help promote cooperation among theosophical organizations. What do? You join several theosophical organizations in addition to your own. You write an objective history of the theosophical movement, attempting to relate all theosophical organizations to one another within the movement. C, you organize a conference to bring theosophists from different organizations together. And D is other.
Our group Everybody chose the other option. It has three parts. So you pay your money and you take your choice. Mr. Junior, Mr. Perkins came up with an excellent idea to make activities, anything that's going on in other groups, let them be reflected in the national journals of that group. It's a very good idea. It's cheap and it's easy to implement for those of you that are cost-effective minded. The second idea is to encourage members of your group or your organization to visit other organizations and therefore get ideas from them and vice versa. If you're having a members-only function, to have members from other group sit in on your function and listen to what they have to say in exchange for that idea. And the last one was to have some sort of a congress or an independent body where we could send a representative to exchange ideas, to have kind of a network. We think of a conference, but a conference is very good like this one. But I did not know we had splintered groups until I came to this conference. I'm a neophyte in this business, so you have to bear with me. But anybody who has an assignment, I'm sitting on a board or I have to give a talk on something, I want something unique. Maybe that guy in that group has something. So at a moment's notice, I could just contact this group or this board, and he'll have something for me. And also, for you computer buffs who are interested in telecommunications, might be a good idea. Thank you very much.